Hi, this is Zipporah, and it's April 23rd, and we're on creating more in New England, more consciousness, more awareness, and hooray for the earth. And my guest tonight is Aurora Walks Gently, and we're talking to her from West Virginia.
Yay. Actually, the western part of Virginia. I'm
western
in the Shenandoah.
Okay.
Yes, I'm in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia.
All right, so it's not actually West Virginia. Well, they're all beautiful.
It's another an hour or so, so you're not off.
And yesterday was Earth Day, and it's kind of amazing that we live all the time on this gorgeous, amazing planet, and one day a year, we say, oh, okay, we're going to kind of remember that and recycle or something. And so what else is possible for Earth every day of the year and for more contribution to the Earth than just recycling, for actually honoring the Earth and receiving from the earth and being aware of what the earth is and contributes to us and would like to contribute to us if we would just receive more of it. And yeah, so Aurora, you were just saying that you have a garden and you talk to nature spirits. You want to tell us more about that?
Absolutely. One of the fascinating ways that spirit works is that I had actually, I moved down from Maine in 2002 to Virginia because I felt called. I had no idea why I was moving to Virginia, and yet it's worked very well. And in fact, I'd had some relationship with Virginia through Paralandra Nature Research Center. Michelle Small Wright, as many of you may know, has documented a process that has been used through the ages for consciously co-creating with nature. And I've been using that process since about 1995. And I've always been connected with nature. I grew up on a farm, and matter of fact, in my younger years, I was on a farm with a little bit of everything just a few miles from where Zipporah is. And so nature has always been deeply ingrained in my being. And so when I started on my healing path and started exploring and found that, it made perfect sense. And so the devas are the architects of nature. They hold all of the patterns. So there's a deva of carrots, and there's a deva of elm trees. But it's not just what we think, what we commonly think of as nature. Anything that's on the earth, including us humans, are part of nature. So any business that we set up, our homes, even if it's an apartment in the city, you know, there's a deva of that space. And there's also nature spirits. Nature spirits are kind of the worker bees of nature, where they ground the patterns into form. So they're local. And we sometimes, you, excuse me, you can, of course, connect in with them directly. And you can also connect in through the nature spirit Pan. He's sort of the CEO of the nature spirits on Earth. And so the coding process enables us to connect in consciously with the Earth. And it's kind of like adding all of these specialists to our team. So if we want greater harmony and balance in our home, we can connect in with the deva of our home and the nature spirits there and ask, okay, So what? How do we create greater harmony and balance here? Is there something that we can do? It may be a matter of rearranging the furniture. It may be a matter of bringing in certain plants or crystals or something like that. But we have access. Everyone has access to these beings who are all about harmony and balance. And let's not forget abundance. No one can create something out of nothing like nature can. Just look at the dandelions in the sidewalk.
Can you kind of lead us through connecting with one of these beings, and maybe we can have a conversation or...
Okay, certainly. One of the things that I do when I do a co-creative consult, which I do with farms or businesses or even people, you know, who just want to deepen their connection and the beauty in their home, is to actually go through the training process similar to what I just did in terms of that explanation. But then we say, so for example, since this is about about creating consciousness in New England, we can open up a connection with the overlighting deva of New England. Now, when I say overlighting deva, that means the deva who is over that entire area. You might think, like, instead of the governor of Massachusetts, you have the overlighting deva of Massachusetts. And so however big you want to make this, okay, and I'm hearing, let's go all the way with the earth. Let's open a connection with the overlighting deva of the earth.
Awesome.
And the nature spirit Pan, and invite in any of the nature spirits who would like to play with us where each of us is on this call.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then also connect in with each of our higher selves. Okay. And before this call, I actually tuned in and invited in many of these beings, as well as there's a special process called the medical assistance process, where we each have our own personal healing team. And for those of us who are committed to facilitating healing for others or for the earth, we also have a professional healing team. So I also connected in those beings before I got on the call. And so, as we're beginning to learn to have conscious communication with nature, we start by binary questions, yes or no questions. And some people pendle, some people use kinesiology, some people just develop that awareness. And that can enable us to get any answers we desire or require. You can also have an ongoing conversation with nature, just like, you know, those who pray. You know, one form of prayer is just an ongoing conversation with spirit. I have my spiritual practice, which is ceremonial pipe, but I also, throughout the day, you know, something goes good, it's like, oh, thank you. You know, something's baffling me or frustrating me, it's like, okay, God, what's this about? God, goddess, all that is, spirit, I use all of those names and more. And it's kind of the same thing with nature. So when I'm gardening, and I have a number of gardening clients, so the first thing we do when we come to the land is open up the coning for that land and walk around the land and see which plants are calling to us. And my guess is you've all experienced that, where you're just walking and then all of a sudden you feel something and your focus comes to a certain plant. They're talking to you. Whether you recognize it or not, they're talking to you. And that's the basic process. So you open up either the deva or the overlaying deva. And so, for example, if you're planting your vegetable garden, you might say, I'd like to open a connection with the overlaying deva of this vegetable garden. But then as you go to plant your carrots or prepare to plant your carrots, you might also open a connection with the deva of carrots. Or you can just trust that the overlaying deva will do that for you. And that's really the basics. Excuse me. I'm going to tune in for a moment here. We're a bit ahead of you and season-wise. And so we have lots of a variety of pollens, as well as I've been doing mulching, et cetera. So my sinuses decided to go into detox last week, so I apologize for any coughing that I might do here. Okay, so I'm just going to tune in and see if the earth has a message she'd like to share. And one of the things that I do, when I am bringing through a message, is I have a very active pendulum who's part of my healing team, and I always confirm the message with her, simply because being humans, we have our own thoughts, feelings that can sometimes come through, and I want to make sure this is a clear message. Okay, do we have a clear connection? Okay. Is it the deva of the earth that would like to speak with us? Okay. The deva of the earth would like to speak with us. And so I'm dropping my barriers. And offering myself. And I do... some people who channel, you'll actually hear them change, et cetera, hear their voice change. For the most part, I do what I call pass-through channeling, which means that it comes through me, but I'm fairly conscious and aware because I think I'm a little bit of a control freak. And nature's willing, nature and spirit are willing to work with that. Okay. Welcome. Welcome to your home and to your awareness. We celebrate your willingness to stretch beyond the busyness of your day, the distractions of your cultures, and to reach for more. For together we can, in fact, create more. There is so much possible that most have forgotten. And there is so much we would like to share with you. Most of all, we would like to share the joy. We recognize that this is a big deal. Today is Earth Day. And yet so often that is colored with judgment, with fear, with anger at the abuse. We would say that we do not have those emotions. There is much that could be judged as harmful to the earth. And certainly, we would appreciate and celebrate greater awareness and greater connection, greater willingness to work with us to create all that we could create together. We cannot create the beauty, the bounty, the thriving that is possible on the earth unless humans choose to consciously co-create with us. There are many, many, many people who mean well and yet cannot let go of their, we might say, analysis paralysis, their attachment to what they are told is factual, their attachment to what can be measured. There is so much more than can be seen by instruments. Humans are, in fact, the finest instrument on the planet. You have an energy system designed to tune in far beyond what we might call the gross senses of seeing, hearing, taste, smell, even touch. And we invite you to awaken to that richness and that joy, the greatest gift that you can give to the earth in every single moment is to be joyful. Working for good is always welcome. And yet the greatest good is to step out of judgment and into joy and possibility. That will bring freedom for us all. This planet and everything on it will forever be dynamic and ever-changing. And change is not necessarily bad. It is just change. It is only when we grasp and we struggle to stay quote-unquote stable, that is where the judgment of change being bad comes from. If you are willing to flow like the river and like the trees swaying in the wind, change just is. There is so much we would share with you. We simply ask you to join us. All you have to do is ask, and we will work with you to find the ways that we can communicate together.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
It seems like a lot of the systems that keep life balanced and flowing and growing and flourishing on Earth are breaking down. Is that just a change, or is that something we can support in some way from deteriorating and degrading more?
It is both. part of it is a matter of balancing the imbalances in humans. So, for example, one of the things science agrees upon is that when you are angry with a plant, when you yell at it, etc., it will wither and die. When you sing to it, when you're joyful, when you speak appreciation to it, it will thrive. And yet, of the people on your planet, how many choose to live in joy? If one person being angry with a plant can kill it, and it's not even a matter of being angry at the plant. Sometimes it's a matter of just having what one might call heavy energy, neglect, depression, grief, anger, judgment, all of that takes a tremendous amount of energy to clear and to balance. Of the billions of people on the earth, there are far more who are caught up in the imbalance, the negativity, the judgment, the anger, the grief, the depression, than are choosing to live in joy. The greatest gift, the quickest way to heal the planet, is to choose joy. There are other things. You can give an energetic contribution. Many people, because they have cut off the flow of energy between themselves and the earth, they are creating disharmony in their own body, perhaps even what you would call disease and pain. Yet if they would allow that energy to flow to the earth, it would in fact be a contribution to both themselves and the earth.
Are you saying that nature spirits, that plants, animals, elementals, whatever, are actually using their energy to balance heavy human emotions and thoughts?
That is one way of putting it, yes. And also to balance our actions. Because of the human commitment to only ownership, to staying in one place, that if we are to support that, if nature is to support that, then it means that the earth cannot flux and flow as is its nature. You know, if there is a tornado or an earthquake or a tsunami, these are all considered, major disasters. They're simply the earth balancing. And you might consider that the original design, people would migrate like the birds, like the animals. And so when one area of the earth that they were living upon during one season would get burdened, they would go to another in another season or in a few years. So there was not this building of pressure, so to speak, because of the commitment to stay in one place and to build structures that were not designed to flux. In actuality, they were designed not to flux. So that creates challenges. You know, if you think of a teepee or, you know, one of the earth houses or something like that, things built with natural materials that are not intended to be permanent. Okay, a pole breaks because the earth shakes, a new pole gets put in. Does this make some sense?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense and brings up another question. May I ask another question?
Certainly.
The idea of migrating and being nomadic seems at odds with just the sheer number of people now on the earth and with the ownership culture, it would seem that it would be impossible for people to move around that way and to not have permanent homes. And is it actually a contribution to the earth to have this many people? There's a lot of organizations that say less people, birth control, too many people, population control, things like that.
This is a complex question. We deal with what is, and there are certainly times when many people choose to leave the planet, sometimes through what is commonly called a disaster. And it is true that there are many, 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 many people on this planet. And it might be easier to harmonize and balance with fewer people. We would say, however, if there was a willingness to first live in joy and also to consciously create with nature, you would find yourself drawn naturally to methods that would work with nature. You would find yourself using building methods, for example, that harmonize with nature. Natural materials, natural shapes, things along these lines. And it is not so much the materials that are natural, because technically everything here comes from the earth. It's just a matter of the degree of refinement. And if there is a willingness, there are ways to use the materials at hand to work with the devas. For example, if you're engineers or material scientists or people who are working with technology would willingly and consciously co-create with nature, materials could be developed to take advantage of the waste that has been created and to use it in ways that would bring harmony and balance. And if people were happy, one might suggest that they would be more like other species on the planet that are conscious of when it is a balancing thing, a harmonious thing, to bring another life onto the planet, and when it is not. There would also be, perhaps, less of a fear of death and more of a celebration of the passing as well as the coming. And each person would know when it was their time, and there would not be so much effort to keep the beings here when their bodies are degrading to such levels. So there are many things that could be shifted that would in fact shift if people chose to be joyful and chose to co-create with the earth. We would find possibilities beyond your wildest dreams. And all of these questions could be answered with far greater ease than is currently being attended.
That's very beautiful, and I'm really glad that you brought up bodies. My understanding is that our bodies are part connected, inseparable from the earth, and yet that's not how we're taught to be. And I'm wondering if say something about how people can connect more with their bodies and with the earth through their bodies, or change the understanding there somehow.
Intention is a very powerful thing. As is awareness and joy. It's our joy is the place where our beings and our bodies find the greatest communion. Neither the being nor the body can thrive unless it is in joy. So, if one does not know what brings them joy, we strongly recommend, as if their life depended on it, because in fact it does, that there be a deep exploration of what it is that brings one joy. Some find that in dance. Some find that in music. Some find that in painting. Some find that in walking in nature or laying in a field or sitting in the sunshine. All of these are beneficial. And just like a plant, if you choose to judge your body, to berate your body, to abuse your body, it will wither and die. at the very least, it will be communicating with you as best as it can, usually through pain, since it is most often what gets our attention. If we instead ask the questions, if we recognize that our body knows what it needs, then we have the answers. In how to create communion with our body. And as we create communion with our body, we will find it much easier to be in communion with the earth. For they are, as you said, one and the same.
I feel very honored to be having this conversation. Does anyone else have a question for the earth beings that Aurora is channeling at the moment?
We need to, I'm hearing my body needs to stop the channeling.
Okay.
I'm can definitely share from my own experience, and in fact there's a story I'm being guided to share with you. But I think that's enough channeling for now.
All right. So great. So appreciative.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Deva. Thank you. My apologies. The part of that communion with the body we're talking about is learning to listen.
Yeah, let's just take a minute, and if everyone knows how to do a 1, 2, 3, we can contribute some energy to the earth and to Aurora's body. And on 3, let's send some energy. 1, 2, 3.
3. 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. And that was really quite an amazing conversation and brought up lots and lots that may have pushed some buttons for people. So let's just uncreate and destroy everywhere we're experiencing any kind of limitation of belief or mind or possibility or anything else in our world. Right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, Podpok, Schwartz, Boys, and beyond. And anyone have a question now or want to contribute something or just say something?
This is Al. And I just wanted to say, do you get the sense that the earth is in allowance of what's happening to the earth?
Totally. I have never felt judgment from the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I have never really felt anything other than, you know, we humans, part of the challenge, and there are some people who will say, you know, that the earth is grieving, that the, you know. Everybody has their own experience. We all bring it through our own psyche, our own body, our own experience, and we tend to humanize plants, animals, the earth. for those who are involved in access, you know, we talk about perceiving, receiving, being, knowing as the higher harmonics, higher, you know, resonance. Mm-hmm. You might have to go here, Zipporah, because my brain is a little not in that quadrant. But so that we, you know, the thinking, the feeling from where the judgments come that we make so significant, that's not really the earth's stick. You know, the earth doesn't go there. The earth is about harmony and balance. We have a particular perception of what that looks like and feels like. We see a forest being overcome by invasives, and we assume that that's an imbalance because we judge those plants to be invasive.
Right.
The question is, what imbalance was created in that ecosystem and in the energetics of the region that enabled those invasives to take hold?
To do what?
To take hold in a particular region.
Mm-hmm.
Because if a plant... if a plant is thriving, you won't find disease, you won't find infestations, or you will find little bits. Okay, maybe the Japanese beetles come through, they do their chewing, but then they're gone and the plant still recovers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really... something that, excuse me, I need to, I'm in my phone booth at home where the best reception is, which is my car. And it just started raining, so I had to put up the window. That's what the beeping was. I had to turn it on. So, you know, what we're looking at is we have, in many cases, depleted soil. And so the plants aren't as strong as they might be. Some of you may remember the book, The Celestine Prophecy. And I don't, it might have been in the 10th Insider or one of those. And they talked about contributing to the plants energetically to help them to be strong. Now, you can certainly beam them energy. You can also praise them. And you can ask them what they need. In the gardens at Paralandra Nature Research Center that I mentioned earlier, they grew bodacious tomatoes in the same place for at least 10 years. Now, any tomato aficionado would tell you that that's not possible. But they did it by working with nature, by balancing the energetics as well as the physical form in terms of what was necessary for nutrients, etc. So that's another way that what we think is impossible can be possible if we're willing to ask the question rather than draw the conclusion. The challenge with science and our dependence on science is that it's about conclusion. And as soon as we draw a conclusion, we shut down the possibilities.
And there are a lot of conclusions that have been made about
exactly
what's required for plants and
parts of the earth. And yeah. So would you say just being joyful is the greatest contribution?
Absolutely. The thing, when I did my graduate work in 2012 to 2014, I actually went back to school to teach well-being. And my graduate thesis was about a curriculum. I developed a curriculum for teaching well-being as a path to sustainability. Because when we're not happy, we make really bad decisions. You think about the consumerism, okay? We say, oh, it's so terrible that people are buying all this stuff and filling all the landfills. Why are they doing that?
Because they're unhappy. They're searching for something
exactly.
To make them happy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if we teach well-being, and I can't say what will make any given person happy.
Right.
The nature of the curriculum that I developed was an exploration. It was about opening up that conversation with our body in terms of what does our body need. It was about opening our awareness to, okay, when I do this, I feel this way. When I do this, I feel that way. And the wonderful thing is that there are very simple exercises one can do to increase their happiness or well-being. Gratitude's the first thing. Saying thank you. Saying thank you to people. Saying thank you to ourselves. Saying thank you for our food. Saying thank you to the plants, to the bus driver, to the store clerk. You know, thank you for the air that we breathe. Thank you for the water that we drink. You know, just finding at the end of the day, looking back over the day and finding three things that you're grateful for. Now, initially, those who are totally new to this might have a difficult time finding that. But you can find yourself on a roll and all of a sudden you've got a full page.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we go to judgment, one of the access tools is say, oh, interesting point of view. And when we're receiving judgments from other people, what would it be like if we simply said, wow, thank you, and didn't resist and react or align and agree with it? Because so much of what makes us unhappy isn't even ours.
Right.
The vast majority of us are by nature extremely sensitive. And so if we can simply say, thank you for sharing that. And if we can look at what might be true in that for us, if there's anything. And if there's not, okay, interesting point of view. They have that point of view. But when we resist and react to it, then they have to push further. And we're spending energy on something that is not of benefit to anyone. And when we align and agree with it and assume that just because somebody said something, it must be true. I was told when I was growing up that I could not carry a tune in a bucket. They were wrong. I did not have an extensive range. I was never taught how to sing. But once I got over that judgment, I found that music is one of the places my creativity comes through. Spirit has gifted me a number of songs, and I can actually celebrate today that one of the women up in Maine that was in my women's spiritual community back in the 90s is going to be recording one of those songs. And have had I chosen to say, I can't sing, therefore I shouldn't, I wouldn't have allowed that music to come through me. Mm-hmm. And that song is one that she has used in training people to connect to the light for 15 years. I just found this out today. So it's like, cool. And I would actually share that with you, except my voice is in a little rough shape right now. So I won't honor that.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, can you sing a little bit for us? But that's
awesome. I can. I think I've got an earlier recording that I can send out. I can send to Zipporah. And perhaps we can send that out with the recording of this conversation.
Oh, that would be awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks.
Because it's something that we can all sing, and it's a wonderful, wonderful reminder. It's called Light and a Miracle. And briefly, the lines are, you are light and a miracle, shine your light.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes to we and to I. Or I. Sometimes it's you, I, we. Sometimes, you know, I sing it every different way every time. But the truth is, that's what Spirit would have us remember. And that's part of the being joyful. And there's a story, I know we're getting short on time, Zipporah, but there is a story that I was given many years ago when I was working with a dear friend of mine, actually several dear friends of mine, bringing through some aromatherapy mists. I was reminded long, long time ago when we were relatively new to this planet, when we walked on the earth barefoot, that there were nerves in our feet that go directly to our hearts. And it was through these that we would know when a plant was ready to be harvested, would know when an animal was doing their giveaway, would know when one was injured and needed our assistance. And as we chose to separate, to start wearing more and more upon our feet, The way that we knew that was how we connected with the nerves in our feet. But the web that covered the earth at that time, which my sense is similar to the mycelium web, like they found acres, thousands and thousands of acres of it in the Northwest, as I recall, which is a vast communication network. My sense is that's what we were hooking into, if I had to be scientific about it.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. And as we began to excavate, to dig, to put in things without consciousness, we tore that web. Now, we have a choice. At this point in time, while we don't have those nerves active, we have an awareness of the energy available to us if we choose it. And through our intention, we can connect the web of light that is above the earth. Some of you may be aware of the Grandmother Speak work, where she talks about the web of light surrounding the earth. We can use that to bridge those gaps. So, for example, around cities or mines or places, you know, roads, all of that, we can, in effect, invite that web and strengthen that web with our intention. It's kind of like darning a sock, which I know isn't a common practice anymore, but anyone who's had a sweater who's started to unravel, it's the same idea, only it's energy.
Oh, cool.
That's really cool. I'm getting that we can do something with, I don't know, maybe it's a body process. Initialize, activate, exponentialize the sensory web.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's also the restoration of communion with the earth.
Yeah, which is run on the feet.
Right. So, interesting. That didn't connect with me, and I just did that today.
Zipporah, you and I both put up a class, right, to have restoration of communion with the earth on Earth
Day. Yeah.
And he didn't have anybody come.
Yeah.
And I didn't have anybody come.
But what did you create by doing that?
Oh, I did create a lot because I had mine posted for the day before Earth Day, and I went on a meditative walk with the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just changed my energy. I found a different vibration. So, you know, I didn't really share it. I didn't have anybody come and share it with me. I was going to do the body process and the meditative walk with people. But I did the meditative walk, and I feel that I contributed to the planet, and the planet definitely contributed to me,
mm-hmm.
and I definitely want to do more things like that. So,
and every time we put out the invitation, we're building pathways.
Yeah.
And when we pull the energy through, and we can ask the earth to help us.
Yeah. I could have done that.
You know, help us to connect with the beings who are going to benefit from this, who are ready to hear this at this time.
Yeah, that's a good one. Nice.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time yesterday just in my garden. It was one of the first nice days.
Yeah.
To actually be out in the sun without tons of clothing and
mm-hmm.
be able to touch the plants and the earth with my bare hands without having gloves on and and just so much fun. You know, the little flowers and plants coming up and the little seeds coming up, and it's like the soil sings and the trees sing and the birds sing and everything. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Makes it, I was experiencing a lot of vulnerability and just tears of real joy, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was good.
And the spring peepers just started peeping away outside my house just now.
Getting a little dark.
Yeah.
Yes. But one of the things I love about Virginia is that we do get spring. I mean, we've got willow trees leafing out right now.
Wow.
And the red buds are absolutely amazing. I don't know if you're familiar with redbud trees, but they come out in this reddish purple blossom before the leaves come on. And they're everywhere. You go down Interstate 81 and it's lined with them. And it makes all the driving I do much more pleasant, let's put it that way.
They're called red buds?
Red buds, yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of them here. They're native, I believe.
Yeah.
The
yeah. And they're legumes, so they fix nitrogen in the soil, too.
And they have heart-shaped leaves.
They do, yes. They're fabulous. I wasn't familiar with them from Maine. And if we had them when I was a kid in Western Mass, I didn't remember it. We mostly lived in a pine forest. But, yes, there's so much beauty and so much bounty. And all we have to do is ask. How can I create more of this? What is mine to contribute? And what is mine to receive?
Mm. Yeah, wow. Do you have just a couple more minutes?
Yes, I do. This is a lovely conversation.
Yeah, would you explain a little bit what the work with the ceremonial pipe is that you do?
Certainly. When I moved down to Virginia, one of the things I was clear on is that I need to get on my spiritual path. I had been dancing with that, been doing ceremony and ritual of a variety of forms for many years, but there wasn't one that I could call home. And within a year of coming to Virginia, I was introduced to a woman, Barbara Steinbrenner, who was a pipe carrier and a water pourer, a sweat lodge facilitator in Sun Bear's tradition. Now, one of the things I love about Sun Bear, he died in the 80s, late 80s, I believe it was, so I never met him in physical form. I have experienced him in ceremony before. He believed in the Rainbow Tribe. He believed that anyone who came with a good heart should be included in ceremony. And I have been an avid anti-smoker since I was a kid, and my dad was smoking 2 packs a day. And yet, when I held the pipe in my hand, I was home. So tobacco is a binding herb. And by that, I mean, for example, it's one of the things you can put on a bee sting to draw out the poison. The reason we sprinkle it on the earth, lots of people know to do that, but they might not know that it's a binding herb. So when we speak our prayers to the tobacco and then sprinkle it on the earth, it takes our prayers to the earth. When we smoke a pipe, we are not inhaling the smoke, and I mean that for real. You actually bring it in your mouth and then send it back out. And that's because we don't want to put our essence into it, that it would receive if it came all the way into our lungs, but we want to send our prayers on it. So every puff of smoke we send our prayers on, and the puff of smoke carries it to Creator. And so there are a variety of ceremonies. Some pipe ceremonies, the primary one that we learn, the first one that we learn when studying the pipe, is we call it loading the pipe. After we put tobacco in the pipe in a certain way, then we actually speak our prayers out loud, or at least the ones that are right on the tip of our head right then. And, of course, that once the pipe is lit, we will continue to send prayers silently. And so it's really about, there's so much. I mean, the bowl is made of stone in this tradition, and the stem is wood. So one of my favorite places to walk in Maine is Pine Point Beach in Scarborough. I used to walk that in February barefoot. And where the river comes in on the north end of the beach, several years before I moved to Virginia, I found this beautiful piece of wood that was beaver chewed. And beaver has been a totem of mine for many, many, many years. And it's all about building and community and all the things that I love. And I had no idea why, but I had to bring that stick to Virginia with me. That stick became my pipe stem. And near this area over in Schuyler, which is on the other side of the Blue Ridge, they have soapstone quarries. And so I carved my bowl out of the soapstone. Now, I am no stone carver. And so I got a lot of teaching that Spirit did around humility and around lots of things. The bowl that I carved is very non-traditional. It's kind of shaped like a turtle's back. And I was told to leave some of it raw with the rough edges where the stone was broken. There are cracks in the stone. I actually, harvested it from a scrap pile. There are rough spots. And I was told, kind of like us. We humans, we're cracked, we're scraped, we're raw. And it is in that way that we learn and we heal and we become more of who we are. And so the ceremonial pipe is not something that you just pick up and decide that, oh, I'm going to be carrying pipe now. I actually, first, my mentor had a training pipe, and I used that for 30 days and smoked and prayed and said, okay, is this, appropriate for me? And then I wrote a letter and offered tobacco to Panther Wind Woman through Barbara. Panther Wind Woman is the medicine chief of the Bear Tribe who took over shortly after Sun Bear died. And so I prayed on it. Barbara, my mentor, prayed on it. Panther Wind Woman prayed on it. We all got yes. She gave me permission. I carved my pipe. And the awakening of the pipe, the ceremony is called the awakening. And basically what it is, the closest thing I can compare it to is a marriage. It is bonding the pipe to me and vice versa, in service of the people. And I mean, it's one of the things that has changed my life. It has created connections that, and I've had experiences through that were not on my radar before that.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's something I take very seriously. I do not claim Native ancestry. I don't know for sure what my ancestry is. My you know, I know that for all the harm that has been done to the indigenous people of this continent, of this planet for that matter, I hold that ceremony in reverence. The pipe ceremony was brought through to the Lakota people, to the those who are known as Sioux. There's Lakota, Dakota, and forgive me, I'm not, I believe it was to the Lakota people by White Buffalo Calf Woman. And she brought a number of ceremonies to them. And this is their tradition, which I honor. And I am grateful for those elders who believe that you come with a good heart, and that is the most important thing.
Well, everywhere we don't have good hearts for the earth, I'm create and destroy all that, right, wrong, good, bad, all night, hot, short, poison, beyond.
Oh.
Wow. Well, my heart is bigger and lighter.
Mine too. Thank you so much.
And
yeah,
mine.
This is really cool.
My pleasure. I mean, these are some of my favorite topics.
Well, when I met you, I just knew I had to have you on the call. I wasn't sure really what would turn up, and gosh, I was surprised.
Spirit has a way of creating things, and I'm very grateful to play.
Yay.
Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of everyone's evening and whatever weather is going on. And let's do another 1, 2, 3 for the earth.
Absolutely.
One, two, three. Ah. All right. Well,
yeah.
Good night,
thank
everyone.
You so much. Good night.
Good night. Thank you. Good night, Deborah.